cliffcentral.com.
James Bay with Let It Go, cliffcentral.com, 7 after 7. Good morning. It is Monday and we've got things to do and we've got things to find out about. And we'll take your calls, 0861-555-189. Hey, Flax, I've noticed that you bring my tea in at a different time every day. Gets later and later. It's almost like you're rationing me.
No, so sometimes I forget and sometimes I remember, but other times then I wait for the urn to heat up.
Oh, right. I just thought you were being inconsistent on purpose.
No, I try do it while Ben's doing his sports because then I leave the studio.
But you couldn't do that today because we had so much going on.
There was no Ben.
All right, well, listen, there's lots to talk about this morning. You can tell us what you're up to. 0861-555-189. Maybe you did something fun over the weekend. Definitely is getting brighter and just a little bit warmer. Normally, in the course of last week anyway, the temperature on my car thermometer was, between 0 and 2 degrees. This morning, 6 degrees, Mubs.
Ah, you see.
Already. We'll take whatever we can. Six degrees is good compared to what we've had to put up with. Right, Peshitta?
So, right. I'm wearing my summer shoes, so it's good. Oh, nice. I have not worn shamasus.
Shamasus. Yeah, I know what you mean. All right, if you're wondering where Ben is, he is off to Thailand. He's actually there already with Daniela. They're busy enjoying a little week's holiday. He'll be back on Monday next week. By the way, if you'd like to do our sport, you can do it on Thursday or Friday. We still have gaps. Right, Flex?
Yes, we do. I think we still have a gap on Thursday, Friday, and Monday.
Oh, is he not back on Monday?
I thought he's back on Tuesday.
No, he's back on Monday.
Okay, so he's back on Monday.
Yeah. 2 days left.
Two days
open.
I just read the craziest news ever.
No, ever?
Just about this could make like 2016.
Ever?
Okay, so Justin Bieber's got a new girlfriend.
Oh, no.
This is the biggest news of the year.
No, this wait. This is just a build up to a climax.
All right.
So he's got a new girlfriend. He's denying it, but it's basically his new girlfriend. It's Lionel Richie's daughter.
What, Nicole Richie?
No, another Richie.
Isn't it Sophia Richie?
Sophia Richie.
Oh.
Who's she?
I'm pretty sure it's Lionel Richie's daughter.
Yeah, but tell me about her. I mean,
okay, I don't think she's anything.
Girl.
I think maybe she's a model on the side.
What does she look like?
She's beautiful, blonde hair. The thing is, she's 17 years old.
So she's also adopted like Nicole Richie.
I think so.
Yeah, all right.
So she's 17 years old. She turns 18, I think, in 2 weeks. So they're quite madly in love. Like they're holding hands, private jetting around and everything. And he posted about 7 photos of her on his Instagram yesterday. And he started getting a lot of hate.
Yeah.
So then he put up a photo of them and he says, I'm going to make my Instagram account private if you guys don't stop the hate. This is getting out of hand. If you guys are really fans, you wouldn't be so mean to people that I like. So then Selena Gomez went and commented. She goes, if you can't handle the hate, then stop posting pictures of your girlfriend. Lol. It should be special between you two only. Don't be mad at your fans. They love you. How hectic is that?
So basically, she's shutting him up. She's saying, behave yourself.
I don't know if you can say maybe she's a bit jealous even.
No, I think she's taking a chance to have a swipe at him. She's not jealous. She's just being, she's doing her thing.
Yeah, this was definitely an uppercut and a hook at the same time. Yes. This made my Monday.
So that was all those pictures that he posted of them in the car together.
Yeah. Right. Did you see that? Oh, you follow Justin Bieber on Instagram.
I did. I was notified of this. I was notified of this. All right. By the way, speaking of Nicole Richie, and I discovered something interesting about her. Apparently, Sheila E., who you remember used to be quite close to Prince.
What? No,
Sheila E., the musician.
What?
Nicole Richie, her biological mother was Sheila E.'s assistant. All right. And her biological dad is Peter Michael Escovedo, who's a musician who played with Lionel Richie in his band. So Sheila E., Mubs, you don't seem to care who Sheila E. is.
No,
let me fill you in.
I need to hear the story.
So Sheila E. is an American singer, drummer, percussionist. She's worked with Prince, Lionel Richie, George Duke, Ringo Starr, Gloria Estefan, Jennifer Lopez, Beyonce. She's amazing.
Okay.
Right, you'll probably know most of her. Let me think. What are her big songs that she would have done? I mean, Prince was very close to her. They were together in. I think she did the vocals on "Let's Go Crazy," and a bunch of others. But she put, because her surname is the same as Nicole Richie's biological father, right? So they're obviously related. I don't know what the relationship is, but she arranged for Lionel Richie to adopt Nicole.
Okay.
If you're wondering where all of that comes from. And then I wonder if she's also involved in where Sophia Richie comes from, because she's also clearly adopted.
So the Richies never had biological children. They adopted their children.
It appears so, yeah.
Oh, that's very generous.
Yeah. It is nice. And I love people who adopt kids. I think that they're the heroes of our age. I mean, they're taking kids that other people either don't want or can't look after, and they're looking after them.
Mm.
So her parents are musician. This is Sophia now. Lionel Richie and his wife Diana. They have an older brother, Miles, and then Nicole. And it appears, though, Sophia might be a natural child of the Richies. I mean, there's not a lot of info about her. But if anybody knows more than me, please let me know. I just think it's fascinating that, like, Sheila E. arranged for Lionel to adopt one of her relatives' biological children. That's a hell of a... That's a good adoption. What I'm saying is, can you imagine...
Good by what standards? Well,
imagine you grown up as Nicole Escovedo with, I don't know, $100 in the bank. Instead, you end up with your dad as Lionel Richie. Do me a favor. That guy's done well.
That'll definitely
you know,
turn your life around.
Right. So you luck the hell out with your adoptive parents. I mean, there must be stories of people who've gone the other way, where their adopted parents... dirt poor and life is hard. But it's still, if there's love, I suppose that's all that matters, huh? Let's get on with some of the stories in the news. There's lots to talk about today. Where do we begin?
All right, okay. So I saw Chad Leclos mentioned in an interview a couple of days ago that, you know, he does feel disappointed about his silver medals because, of course, he would have liked gold.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about Wade van Niekerk this morning with his gold medal.
Yes.
I think that what will happen throughout the course of this week and into this coming weekend is our focus and our shift in support will move to Caster Semenya.
Mm.
Because she will be on the track this coming Wednesday for the 800 meter heats. And she is a firm favorite to win on Saturday.
Awesome.
And we really want Caster Semenya to win. I mean, so badly because...
For a number of reasons.
For a number of many different reasons, Gareth. Last year, she took silver in this race,
let's list the reasons we want her to win. First of all, she's going to add another medal to South Africa's tally.
Yes.
Number two, she could even win the gold.
She is the favorite to win.
Number three, it would be a victory against people who are just very, very mean about women who tend to be a little more muscular than some people can handle.
The haters.
Yeah, the haters. So we want to beat the haters down.
Well, I'm sure you will have seen what unfolded over the weekend when an American journalist, Tim Layden, you know, raised the issue again of whether or not Caster Semenya should be allowed, the use of that word, to compete against other women in the Rio Olympics. So he wrote this article, and boy, did South Africans very quickly put him back in his place. And yep. There was a lot of support that came through for Caster Semenya over the weekend. She also, tweeted a couple of things on Twitter saying, you know, thank you, Mzansi, and, you know, talking about just the haters and saying that, you know, she's basically looking forward to shutting the haters down on Saturday. And that is personally why I want her to take the gold.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, she hasn't said anything. She's just focused on the race. She doesn't make a noise on social media. She's not one of these people who poses before she goes in there.
Mm-hmm. You know, my issue here is in 2010, Caster Semenya was subjected to sex texting, okay?
Yeah.
This was done
sex
by the...
Sex texting. We've all been subjected.
We've all been sex texting.
Yeah.
But she was subjected to sex testing by the International Association of Athletics Federations. And they gave her the all clear. So why are guys like Tim Layden still asking the question, should she be allowed to compete? It was already decided by the International Association that she's allowed to compete. Why are you still questioning it? Are you not satisfied with them giving her the all clear? So Layden wrote that Semenya's condition causes her to be
hyperandrogynous. Her body produces much higher levels of testosterone than most other females, and that in turn builds greater muscle mass and allows her to run faster.
Now, if this is biological, how could anyone have a problem with it when during the 80s, the East Germans were all the women were taking, they were taking drugs.
They were taking extra testosterone.
It's not like their bodies were producing more testosterone, which is something that comes from the inside. It's like having a you know, extremely long leg muscles. It's just a genetic advantage in the case of Costa Semenya, for good or for bad. It was a whole heap of hell for her growing up, because you can imagine people were mean to her throughout her life. But here it's the one place it's an advantage to her. It's not like these East German athletes during the 1970s and 80s who were injecting vast amounts of male hormones.
Yeah, you know, that is a good point to make, is that this naturally occurs in her body. But this Tim Leyden guy, and some people, let's, you know, to be fair, it's not just this guy, but some people think that that advantage is unfair. But, you know, again, I go back to the fact that she's been given the clear, the all clear to race against other women. So what is going to satisfy you people who are against Caster Semenya racing with women? And what is the alternative? Do you want her to race with the men? Are you serious?
Yeah. or do they just want her out of the Olympics completely? The one thing that this woman is just terrific at. The one thing that gives her meaning and purpose in her life. You're going to tell her she can't do that anymore because of a biology that she is not party to? In terms of choice? I don't know.
So on Wednesday, Caster will be doing the 800 meter heats, and then on Saturday is that final. And I get the sense that South Africans would really, really love to see Caster Semenya take gold in that one.
Sure.
Go for gold.
Thank you, Bashida.
Yes, thank you, Bashida.
Okay. Should we talk about Donald Trump for a second?
Flex, you want to throw something in quickly?
So how's this for some Olympic news?
Oh. All right.
So Ryan Lochte was at
he's the stupidest guy in sport, we learned from Ben last week.
He was at one of those house parties hosted in Rio.
Okay.
And now it's time to leave. So he gets his teammates, his three teammates, they get in a taxi and they head towards the Olympic Village. Upon route, they get stopped by cops.
Okay.
These cops ask them to get out the car. Turns out these weren't cops. So they tell them all to get to the ground and give them their belongings. Ryan Lochte says, no, I've done nothing wrong, still thinking that they're cops.
Uh-huh.
The dude cocks his gun, points it at Ryan Lochte's head, and says, give me everything that you have. These guys get robbed at gunpoint.
Oh, my God.
They're all okay now. They're a bit shaken up.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan released a little statement. But how's that, getting robbed at the Rio Olympics?
Yeah. Apparently, there have been a number of YouTube clips surfacing of people being robbed in just the strangest ways throughout these Olympics.
I watched one where kids are just riding around on bicycles and grabbing like handbags or whatever they can reach. Jeez. And like even jumping into like bus windows and grabbing people's cell phones and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not good for PR.
No, this is bad for Rio. Very, very bad. They've already had so many stories about how rampant crime is. You're pretty much going to be, according to Ben, knifed or robbed or drugged up and left with a kidney missing. And for this to happen to Olympic athletes means it could happen to anyone, because those guys are under some kind of protection, you know?
This is like on every single news station possible now. This is very bad.
It's BFB, bad for Brazil.
Bad for Brazil, although the actual running of the Olympics itself, though,
seems to be okay.
Yeah, things have been going smoothly.
Yeah, people have been looking for reasons to this fall apart and be a disaster. Hasn't.
No, it hasn't. And I haven't seen any of the... Well, I haven't. There might very well be.
What happens to all those people who are really negative about an event and then it goes well? What happens to them after it starts going well? Do they just disappear and melt back into the crowd?
They disappear.
I mean, we were saying it was going to be dangerous, but we were mostly taking the piss out of Zika.
Yes.
And there have been several criminal events that have taken place as well, which is more for us funny than real.
Yeah, as long as people aren't getting severely hurt.
But the Olympics themselves have pretty much gone off in terms of events without a a hitch?
Sure. I mean, there was just that one green pool incident with the algae. But other than that, really?
You know, like, my pool sometimes doesn't look so good.
There you go. Everything has gone according to plan, I think.
They've got to get that stuff. You know those products that they advertise that if you show in the ads, as you pour it into the water's like, oh, sparkling blue out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They've got to get that because, of course, that stuff works.
Of course.
Instantly. kills everything, and then it's working with in the blink of an eye.
They need to put like 12 of those little floating chlorine bottles everywhere.
Yeah, can you imagine swimmers smashing into them? No, not a good idea. All right, what else is going on that we need to know about this morning? I mean, there's plenty of sporting action that we've already covered with regard to the Olympics. There's the ANC-NEC over the weekend. If you want to hear more about that, you can download the podcast from 6:15 this morning. But Gwede Mantashe says that the ANC is collectively responsible for the bad election results. They admit that those election results are not so great.
Mm-hmm.
They admit that they've got a lot of soul searching to do, but that it's everyone's fault. It's not the Gauteng ANC only. It's not the president only. See, because when you start that blame game, they can start pointing fingers at each other, and then it creates all kinds of disunity in the NEC. But what we did learn from the NEC is that they stand firmly behind the president. And according to Ray Hartley and retweeted by Justice Malala, they've put their bets on the fact that if the ANC continue to stand behind the president, they will see a drop below 50% in the 2019 elections, which would take them out of government.
Which, they need to...
So they're betting on the short term because they've got lucrative tender deals or contracts or patronage networks with the president. They're betting on that in the meantime. And they're going to lose the long-term goal, which is to retain government and to actually stay in power.
So their personal gain supersedes the good of the actual party, ANC.
It's what we call the politics of the stomach.
Why do we call it that again?
Because you're hungry, you need to eat now. You can't delay that gratification for a couple of months or a couple of years.
Yeah.
Politics of the stomach.
Gwede also said that the ANC need to address all the negative perceptions that voters now have about the party. Perceptions such as, them being soft on corruption. He said that those kinds of issues need to be addressed by the leaders.
How do you do that when you're not even addressing the Gupta-Zuma relationship? I mean, where else do you think these perceptions are made up in the media?
Yes, for the longest time, the ANC blamed the media for a lot of this stuff.
Right, like we're mischief-making and we're troublemakers and we're just talking smack about the president.
We're out to get them is what we are.
Well... turns out that's not the case. I just want to point out we were not making anything up. So if you want to sort this out, if you mean it, because otherwise it's just blah, 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 hot air. If you mean it, do something about it. Prove to the South African people that you don't accept and tolerate and endorse corruption. And force the president to chuck the Guptas out of every single government contract they have. Stop ministers from going to the court of the Guptas to beg for favors and indulgences, like Des van Rooyen has, like the Minister of Mining has, and then we might believe you. That's what we need to know. That's what people care about. And please, can we stop all of this backslapping, shaking of hands, everyone looking like it's business as usual? I'm so disappointed in the deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, for just like throwing in with this whole Zuma faction for the moment. I thought this was his opportunity, and he's had a couple of them in the past, to say, look, you know what? There is an alternative ANC. There is an ANC that you'd recognize. If you landed in 1994, you'd still recognize a little bit of the ANC from then in me. And here are the people around me that we are the old ANC. We've got the backbone, we've inherited the genes. We are the ANC that you believe in. But alas, he hasn't. He's thrown in with that crooked-backed, snaggle-toothed, craven ANC that seems hell-bent on the politics of the stomach. Through whatever network of patronage you could set up, between you and the president at the top. Something has changed. Instead, Cyril's in with those guys. So I don't know how much hope I hold out for him. In which case, you and I are both asking each other, who can lead the ANC next? And will it matter if they get under 50%? Who's in charge of the ANC? Will it even matter?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. If they did manage to hold on to their 50% in 2019, who will lead the ANC?
Well, there was quite a revolutionary tweet from Tito Mboweni, which Homo quite rightly points to. Tito said he's thinking of resigning from politics because he's kind of obviously down about what happened at the NEC over the weekend.
Right.
I think he's still on the NEC. If he is, then that's probably where it came from. It didn't just come out of thin air. And by the way, while we're talking about things that happened over the weekend, Friday afternoon, an absolutely stellar show with O'Neill. And Reason was in here. Wasn't it awesome, Pashita? You were here.
It was amazing. We were here listening to it live. It was awesome. Cece was in the building and she can sing.
Wow, what a singer.
She can sing.
Yeah, sensational show. If you missed it, download the podcast for O'Neill on Cliff Central from Friday and take a listen to that. It's probably the only show of its kind where live, on-air music collaborations take place between the best artists in South Africa. Junior's amazing on the keyboards. O'Neill just runs that show like a smooth sailing ship. And if you want to hear some great collaborations, never before done, they don't rehearse. They just get in here and do. Freestyle rap. You want to hear talent in action? That's the show for you. Sanet says, Google the current 800-meter women's record holder. Well, all right, Sanet, let me do that while my belly tells us about some other stuff. And then I'll comment on what you've sent me to look at.
So a bit of panic at New York's JFK International Airport on Sunday night, which actually turned out to be nothing at all. But you know how it is when people immediately think that their safety is being threatened. They immediately go into panic mode and it's a fight or flight situation. So passengers at New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport were told to take cover. Mm-hmm. Behind anything they could find by police on Sunday night, as unfounded reports of gunfire in one of the terminals caused mass panic. Every passenger was evacuated from the terminal, some onto the runway, as an army of heavily armed police moved in to hunt for an apparently non-existent gunman. One passenger said that an officer screamed at them, saying, if you're forgetting anything, it's not worth your life. Everyone move now. Flights were also grounded for several hours.
Wow.
But the scare turned out to be a false alarm, with one theory speculating that cheering for Usain Bolt's victory in the 100-meter final may have been misinterpreted as gunfire.
Or maybe the gun from the start of the race.
Or maybe the gun from the start of the race, or, you know, maybe the cheering had people thinking, why are people screaming something is going horribly wrong in the terminal? Get everybody out. So police evacuated Terminal 8 at around 9:30 p.m. on Sunday as a precaution.
Irritating. Do you know what that means? People missed their flights.
Listen, entire flights were grounded, mm-hmm. Gareth. So all sorts of schedules were upset by this. You know, it created a whole series, like a whole domino effect. But yeah, it turned out that there was no gunman, there was no threat, and people still don't know why all of this happened. And so, you know, part of the reasons being suggested is, oh no, it must have been the cheering from the Usain Bolt race. But how's that, hey?
Wow, that's a lot of cheering.
That is an excessive amount of cheering.
It's an incredible noise. How does this sound like cheering? I mean, that's complicated noise for a human being to make. I don't know if I buy it. All right, by the way, I found the picture of the 800 meters world record holder. It's Jamila Kratochvilova, who she won it years ago, and she still holds that record. And she's a very muscular looking woman. But if we attack her, then we're attacking the same thing that people are, you know, people have a problem with in Costa Semenya. She's a woman. I mean, it's just, it seems to me like we shouldn't allow prejudice to make us sound like, you know, we're trying to defend the indefensible. And I do think that in the case of the Olympics, they wouldn't let someone take part in any of this if they didn't think they were legit. We know we've got major drug testing as well. So if it's biology that gives you an advantage, lucky you.
Lucky you.
That's how people with, you know, legs like Usain Bolt are favored. What, are we going to count him out because of his biological advantage?
But I mean, it is frustrating still that this kind of prejudice only plays out when, you know, when women are involved.
Yeah.
And why does that happen? Does it go back to the notion of what you think a woman is supposed to look like? You know, this is part of the reason why Serena Williams still gets called a man by some people, is because she's not built to your standards of what you think a woman should look like. Right. Fuck you.
Right. That, say it again, Mubs.
Fuck you.
There's Mabali with a nice, tough message for those haters this morning. Put it in your pipe.
I just really hope that Caster Semenya wins gold. That's all I want.
Right. Let me see what else I got here. I've got lots of stuff to get to with you today. So, by the way, if you're wondering where Ben is, he's on holiday. Here is an interesting thing. You know, we often talk about how we're doomed as a species.
Humans.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's a proper discussion about why we're doomed as humans that may make you laugh or make you think.
Listen, there are some things that make no sense to me at all, no matter how much I think about them.
Now, this is him. I don't know if he's putting in an accent or he actually sounds like this, but it's ridiculous. Let's take a listen to what he says. Just this bizarre little voice.
To be perfectly honest, right, they worry me a lot, to the point where I feel that the human race is doomed, man. It's fucking doomed. So shit, man. Let me open up to you and tell you them. And if anyone has any answers or explanations to these that will make me feel more at ease with the world, I don't know, I'll give you something.
All right, are you ready?
Let's hear it.
The things that some people are willing to pay money for worry me, all right? Now, for example, this children's doll here, which boasts that you can shave the baby. Shave the baby. Who the fuck wants to shave their baby?
So there's a doll where you could shave the baby.
Shave.
you buy a doll, and part of the reason you would buy the doll is so you can shave it. But why would you shave a baby? So he rightly says that means we're doomed.
That's disturbing, man. And even more disturbing than that, right? Why does this baby have a forest of pubes?
Oh.
And a hairy ass.
Oh.
That looks disgusting, man. It's hairier than mine. But listen, as if the thought of a baby that literally has thick ginger locks protruding from his arse crack wasn't worrying enough, right? There's a food that's apparently quite popular in some parts of America that is way more worrying.
What's that?
It may not look like much, but what we have here is deep fried butter.
Deep fried butter. Why does this exist? Was drinking bleach not seen as a fast enough way to kill yourself, so they made this? Why? Who looks at a stick of butter and says to themselves, fuck off, I'm not eating that, mate. Fucking rabbit food, that's too healthy. And then decides to deep fry it. That looks disgusting.
This guy's voice is crazy, but just for a moment, let's think about the implications of a stick of deep fried butter.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even know what that would taste like.
Oh, I can...
Might even be really good.
Yes, but the damage to your arteries.
What would happen to your system if you had to eat deep fried butter?
What do you even eat that as? Like a starter, or is that like your main course?
I think that's your main course for 6 weeks.
Oh my...
You have to work that out of the
butter
system.
Doesn't even taste nice unless it's with something else.
While we're talking about health, how's your new training session going? Your new training regime?
It's going well.
I'm still on it, getting
fitness up. Still battling with like the eating issues because like I don't know. Sometimes you're on, sometimes you're good, sometimes you just start craving junk food.
Have you lost some weight?
I'm not sure. We haven't done a weigh-in. I plan to do my first weigh-in and when I started, and then only 2 months later do a second weigh-in. But right. I don't know.
Explain to people who don't know, because they might not have been following this, what the training regime entails.
So they have classes. It's called Movement X. So they'll have classes Monday to Sunday, and it's like an hour class, and it's just non-stop depending on what the class is. So like tonight I'll go, and it's high-intensity fitness. So we'll run for like an hour straight. And we'll take like little sets where we stop running for 5 minutes and we do push-ups for 5 minutes. But it's like an hour of non-stop. You're sweating. You're taking yourself to the limit, to the edge, seeing what your body's capable of.
All right.
And then there's a whole lot of eating that has to be done on the side from dietary and this.
I'm proud of you for doing this.
I just hope I've lost the weight because I'm leaving to go away quite soon.
Very nice. Where are you going?
I'm going to Italy.
Italy. Oh, wow, have you been there before?
Nice. No, never. I'm very excited.
You're going, next week or the week after?
I leave on Thursday.
Oh, this Thursday?
This Thursday.
Oh, my God. We better have plans in place. To figure out what's going on with the show. Are you just leaving us or do you have some guests planned for
No,
us?
I've got everything planned. Okay. Oh, you don't God. Have to worry about a thing.
Otherwise, I would start sounding like that guy in the Why Are We Doomed as Humans clip.
My God, you're leaving us!
I've even built a robot to make you your tea in the morning.
Thank you. What a brilliant move that is.
How long will you be gone?
I'll be gone, I think it's like a week or just over a week. Because I leave. So do you want to know what I'm doing?
Yeah, let's hear about this.
Okay, so I leave on Thursday. Late afternoon, and then I'm going to spend 2 days in Rome where I'm just going to do sightseeing. I'm going to be staying at the top hostel in Rome.
What are you going to look for in Rome? Do you know what to be excited about? Can I help you?
Yeah, sure.
All right, you've got to go to the Forum, which is the ruins.
Hold on, I need to write this down. Okay. I'm not going to remember this.
They'll probably take you to these places anyway. Just listen and don't panic about it. We can go through the itinerary.
Download the podcast.
Right. So here it is. The Forum is the old public square of ancient Rome. Now, you know why the ancient Roman Empire was important. It was the most long-lived and successful ancient empire after Egypt and Persia and Greece. Okay?
And also like the gladiators and the fights and
stuff. Correct. Now, in the Forum, you've got various ruined temples, public buildings, marketplaces, courts, the Senate of ancient Rome, which is still there. You can go to, it's called the Curia. You will find that there is a place in the center of the Forum called the Temple of Julius, Tempolo Julio, which is where they cremated Julius Caesar after he was murdered by Brutus and Cassius.
That Brutus,
that backstabbing son of a bitch. There's no fucking monument to Brutus. So Julius Caesar was the first dictator of ancient Rome, and at that stage it was kind of an important thing for them because they'd been a republic, then they were a kingdom, then they were a republic, and then Julius Caesar came along and he paved the way basically for the emperors of Rome during the golden age of Rome, starting with Augustus right the way through to probably around, let me give him some credit, Vespasian and Titus and Domitian. That would have been the end of the great glorious age of Rome. But you had amazing emperors like Tiberius and Hadrian and Nerva and Trajan and Antoninus Pius. These are some of the people who set the way for Western civilization. We're still using laws they put in place. Systems of architecture and literature and language and mathematics and things that were at their height during this period of ancient Rome. And there was the important time period called the Pax Romana. This is where you'll remember Pax because of flax, right?
Yes.
The Pax Romana was a time where for about, I can't remember how long it was, but for this period of time, there was no conflict in the world. The known world at that point. There was absolute peace on earth.
Everyone was friends.
Everyone got along for a short period. It was very short because
humans... In the world or just Rome?
Well, the known world for Rome. So most of Europe, parts of North Africa, parts of the Middle East. It was a pretty big achievement though. The Pax Romana. It kept everything in place. Everybody was more or less happy. There were probably one or two skirmishes because people can't help themselves. But mostly there was not war. For that time, it was quite a successful thing to mark. And of course, Augustus proclaimed very famously that he had inherited Rome brick and left it marble. So this was the greatest time in ancient Roman history. And you'll be in the middle of all of that when you stand in the Forum. You'll have the Colosseum to the one side of you, which was built by Nero, where they had epic gladiatorial battle. They would flood the arena and have ships reenact naval battles. The people of Rome would gather in all these public places. They would buy things. They would trade. They would make laws. They would listen to speeches. They would interact with each other and engage with each other. Fascinating time in human history. And you can go to places like the Pantheon, which is the most incredible building, because if you think that it was built over 2,000 years ago, and you look at how the architecture of that time allowed a dome with a hole in it in the middle that allowed the sun in, but it didn't have support columns, that kind of architecture is unbelievable. You'll see the Mausoleum of Augustus, where they buried Augustus, across the river from the Vatican. The Castello di Sant'Angelo, which is, it's been turned into kind of part of the Vatican, but it used to be the tomb of Hadrian, and of the Temple of Angels is what they called it. There are bridges across the Tiber River, some of them which are built on the foundations of bridges that are 2,000 years old, Flex. This is amazing.
Sounds awesome.
Are you getting excited?
Sort of. No, I'm just going to have to take your word for a lot of the things because I've never heard of it.
I'm going to give you a series to watch that'll make you excited.
Okay.
What, right. Rome.
Rome. What a great series. Oh my God, I loved that show.
Yes, you did.
Didn't I make you watch it?
Yes, you did.
I forced you.
Yes, you did.
Poor my buddy, I forced it. But there's lots of sex, so don't be put off, Flex. There's lots of sex, there's lots of gossip, there's lots of intrigue, there's lots of drama. Just the way Rome would have been.
It's also a lot of blood and gore.
Oh, big time.
Which I don't mind either. I like that just as much as I like the sex, is the blood and the gore.
Are you excited now?
Yeah, I'm excited to see those like battlefields and stuff like that.
All right. It'll tell you the story of Julius Caesar and of Augustus and of all the other players. And don't forget the women of ancient Rome. They're not necessarily the highlights of the history story, but they play a hugely important role. Because really, the power does rest with women a lot of the time in history. Even though men wrote the history, so they discounted the role that those women played, it's enormous and significant. Anyway, you're going to the center of Western civilization, Flex. So that's the first part. What happens after that?
Okay, so that is Friday and Saturday. That's sightseeing, and then I'm at a hostel. So those nights, it's like hostel parties. And then on Sunday, I start my proper like reason why I went to Rome. So I'm going to a Jewish camp.
What happens there? That doesn't sound good.
No.
The last time we heard about those, it was not a good time.
No, so it's... I think it's roughly 400 or 500 Jews from around the world. They rent out a ski resort, and it's just like a mad time together.
Is it where shidduchs happen?
No. You get to know other Jews from around the world, get to know other worlds through them.
Sounds like a dating agency thing.
No. There's parties.
You sure?
One of the days, there's a tour to the Vatican.
Yeah.
Then there's like... I don't know. Do you know the term shi'urs?
No, tell me.
What so shi'urs are like shi'ur?
little lectures. Oh. So there'll be a cool topic, and then there'll be like...
How to be a Jew.
No, like something like how to deal with conflict or something like that.
Oh, so like life lessons.
Yeah, life lessons.
Useful bits of wisdom.
Yeah, and of course there'll also be like Torah study and that, but you don't really have to go to the things you don't want to go.
I can't see you sitting there.
And then there's like cool things during the day. They've sent out a whole schedule. So like at 10 a.m. there'll be like yoga by the pool. There's like different themed party nights. So there's like a toga party one night, a jungle book party. They've got DJs. I think alcohol...
It sounds like it's meant to be a place where you connect with and find your future wife.
No.
Oh, yes.
Alcohol's free.
Alcohol.
Ooh, alcohol's free. All right. Please don't call it...
free.
Please don't go there and call it alcohol. They'll say these South Africans are dreadful people.
What else is free?
Food.
Okay.
So that was included in the price. And
so it's like a Club Med holiday.
Yeah, for Jews. It's Club Med for
what
Jews.
What if a York... What if Goyim like me sneak in? Is that allowed? Would you know?
No, I don't think, because when you fill out the forms and that, they're very strict. They're like, they want contact people in your neighborhood from your Jewish organizations and stuff like that.
So no entry for me and Mubs.
No.
We don't
strictly
qualify.
Jewish.
All right. That's just as well. I wouldn't want to do Torah studies myself.
So I'm very excited. It's honestly going to be the coolest trip.
A Jewish holiday for Flex.
And people just my age wanting to party and get to know Rome.
Yeah.
and possibly hook up with someone.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, let's stop messing each other around here. All right, Flax. Well, good luck. That sounds good. Anybody want to hear why we're still doomed?
Oh, yeah, we're not done with that.
No, he's got lots to say.
Okay, let's hear it.
Let's give him one or two more seconds. Right?
I feel so utterly
disgusting. This is still about butter.
Deep fried.
It's deep fried.
Yet, despite feeling so fucking disgusting, right? Here she is, happily eating butter. And with a fucking fork, mind you. And as if that wasn't unhealthy enough, right? This fucking death stick is then glazed with what I sincerely hope is icing sugar. But I don't know, man. Apparently this is a thing in some parts of America. But this isn't the most confusing thing from around there. I'll get back to America in a second, right? But for the time being, let's move on. Okay, now listen, before I start this point, right? Answer me this question. Is it necessary for me to tell people not to eat dog shit? Is it?
No.
No, of course not, right? That's common sense, isn't it? So of course, I don't need to tell people that, right? Right. But some of the safety warnings that are written in certain places, it's honestly fucking worrying.
What do you mean, Greg?
For example, right, at the start of every episode of the TV show Jackass, there's a little message where they remind you that copying the stunts performed on this show yourselves, i.e. copying stunts like this, and this, and this,
where they do
might not
stuff.
Be a good idea.
Right. Do you know what? I watched Jackass a couple of years ago. My favorite thing on Jackass was when the guys got into a shopping cart, a trolley, and they put a firework up the guy's backside. And they tried to power the cart forward with the power from the firework in his backside. Like a rocket.
I
mean, if you do that and something goes horribly wrong, you kind of deserve it, right?
Do you think any of those guys had life cover?
By the way, they'll be covering those vehicles on the Auto Central show. At 9 o'clock, they'll be covering vehicles that you could power with a rocket up your backside. Imagine that. I don't think they could. Who would insure that?
Who would insure that?
An insurance company that's about to go bust. That's who would insure that. That's pretty mad. All right, so the warnings of Jackass, he says, should worry us about humanity.
How is that not common sense for people? See, this is what I'm talking about, mate, right? Do people not have any common sense anymore? The show is pretty much a bunch of guys trying to break as many of their own bones as they can, right? Yet despite that being what the show's all about, the show's producers still feel the need to remind people that they probably shouldn't try those things themselves.
Just another point I'd like to make. The Jackass guys, have you seen what they look like 10, 15 years after filming Jackass?
No.
Have you seen how they look? They look terrible. Steve-O...
Bam Margera looks like he's done heroin for 40 years.
Whatever these guys, they may have been like young and crazy and ready to do just about anything once, but now they look like they've done themselves some serious damage.
Washed up and fat and
look,
scars.
A lot of them, yeah, absolutely. A lot of them have done drugs and stuff too, which doesn't help. But man, I mean, is there one of them that looks good, Flax?
No.
Not a chance, right?
Definitely not.
I saw a TV interview with Bam Margera the other day. He really looks like he has been attacked by wild animals, which he probably has, in a literal way. But he's also, he looks like he was laying on the train tracks and the train went right over him. And he looks like he was in the way of danger far too often in his life.
He's currently suffering from alcohol addiction, actually.
Alcohol.
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 Alcohol. It's been in the news lately. Yes.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
You want to hear more of this?
Yeah.
A little bit while we're in it, right?
Because there are enough people out there who watch this and think they should. We're doomed, man. The human species is fucking doomed.
All right.
But even more inexplicable than that, right? Just have a look at this shit, man. Look what's written on this label. Keep away from fire.
That's one of my favorite labels. It's like the hairdryer with the do not use this in the bath sticker.
Yes, yes.
If you use a hairdryer in the bath, things are going to work out well for everyone else on Earth and not so well for you.
What? Everything should be kept away from fire, right? Literally everything. Now listen, as if that wasn't common sense enough, right? That you shouldn't need to be told to keep things away from fire. But even more than that, right? Why is keep away from fire considered something worth writing on my fucking underwear? My fucking underwear, man!
Keep away from fire
was literally written on my underwear.
I've never seen that.
No.
Do you have underwear with keep away from fire written on it?
No. Maybe this is an American thing.
How close have you ever had your underwear to fire?
I have never had my underwear near fire.
Why? Who the fuck thinks that underwear is fireproof? Listen, how stupid are some people? As if this is considered a necessary sign to have, what else is necessary? Put food in mouth and not up ass, the fucking idiots. Where would they get this kind of idea from? Where do people get the idea that things as simple as fucking clothes can have these crazy abilities, like being fireproof and shit? Where on earth could they have got... Oh, for fuck's sake! And finally, right? Do you remember before how I mentioned the thing about deep-fried butter being a thing in America, right?
Yes.
Well, speaking of crazy things that Americans do, how the fuck did you guys let this bitch beat Bernie? I cannot believe that, right? Now listen, I hate to get political.
What is he talking about?
Just kidding, mate. I love this shit.
Hillary.
Isn't he talking about Hillary?
Oh, so he's calling her a bitch, which is not great.
But how did Hillary not get destroyed by Bernie Sanders? Listen, generally speaking, right, her main interests are looking out for the top 1%.
By the way, I do have something to say about this. I heard Julian Assange on Bill Maher talking about those leaks from the DNC, the Democratic National Committee.
Yes.
And about how they intentionally sabotaged Bernie. The communications director of the Democratic National Committee sent out an email telling his staff to spread untraceable information about how people at Bernie Sanders' rallies were violent and creating and fomenting violence on purpose to throw people off Bernie's trail and put them onto Hillary so that Hillary could easily win the nomination, which she did in the end. But you have to wonder about how they would sabotage their own candidate in the primaries. The DNC, which is meant to be neutral to all candidates, meant to support all Democratic candidates, right? Not one over the others.
Yeah, but we know that that's not really true, though.
That's not nice.
Because at the end of the day, there can only be one winner. So your support of all your candidates is only going to go so far.
But you're the DNC. You're meant to be open to all comers. It would be like if the IEC, the Independent Electoral Commission in South Africa, started spreading falsehoods about one of the parties. Any one of the parties. Pick your party. It just doesn't seem right that the agency at the center of this, of course, it's a party, not a government. They're allowed to do what they want, and they prefer a certain candidate over another. I don't know that that's entirely right, that Bernie was hung out to dry by the DNC on fake information, not even real stuff, when crooked Hillary has so much about her that, can I play something for you? I've been waiting to play this for the longest time. This is probably one of the funniest things I've ever heard. But you got to give me a second because... do we have time after 8? Because then I'll do it there. Have we got a bit of time? Is Nomuzi here yet?
She's not here yet. You got time.
All right, we got a bit of time. Good. By the way, Nomuzi Mabena coming up in a short while. We'll talk to her. MTV VJ. She was on the Kellogg's campaign trail for us on Nelson Mandela Day. We repainted a school, Ikwezi Primary School in Soweto, and we did a broadcast from there the one morning. You'll remember if you've listened to us every day, as many people do. And she used to be signed to Cash Time. She's also a rapper. And we will talk to her about her life so far, what she's been up to, where she's from, who she's related to that's interesting, and plenty more. She's actually got her own record label now called Nomuzi Mabena Music. That's pretty cool, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so when we come back, we'll look at all of that. And take your calls, 0861-555-189, cliffcentral.com. Tell us what you're up to this morning. 17. Here's Fetty Wap with Wake Up, which is what you got to do on a Monday. Start your week. Cliffcentral.com.